among the ancestors of Christ that are listed in the genealogy in Matthew that we just read is King Ahaz. The genealogy is a very interesting collection of saints and sinners and various points in between, but King Ahaz was certainly not one of the more saintly ancestors of Christ. He was of the line of David, and he was the son of a very good king, but not the most pious king that had ever descended from David, and actually his son was one of the more pious kings. But he himself was an idolater. If you read about him in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 16, or in Chronicles, chapter 28, 2 Chronicles, you'll read how he fell into Baal worship, and even sacrificed some of his children to Baal. So he was not a particularly good king. In fact, he was one of the more wicked kings. Because of all the things that he had done, we're told that God delivered Judah into the hands of their enemies. And so the Edomites, who had been a vassal state to the kingdom of Judah, rebelled and actually began to attack Judah to take some of their cities from them, from the west and from the south. And then from the north, the northern kingdom of Israel made an alliance with the king of Syria, and they invaded from the north. And their intention, we're told by both the prophet and also in the historical books, was that they had the intention of ending the line of David and installing a puppet king in Jerusalem. So had they been successful, the genealogy of Christ would have come to an abrupt end at that point. During this period of time, the prophet Isaiah was active before him and after. He outlived King Ahaz. But in the gospel reading, we read the prophecy, the virgin shall be with child. That's from Isaiah chapter 7. Just before that, in chapter 6, we read about the call of Isaiah. And it's the scene where Isaiah has this vision of God exalted on the throne, and he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. And he has the vision of the angel bringing the coal with tongs to him and cleansing him. And then he hears God ask, who will go for us? And Isaiah's response is, here I am, send me. And right after that, he's given a very unusual commission. God tells him, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Now, if you pay attention to the gospel readings, you probably are familiar with those words because Christ quotes those very words in reference to his own ministry. So what is God telling Isaiah? He's telling them, I'm calling you to be a prophet and to prophesy to these people, but they're not going to listen to what you have to say. And Isaiah's response was, Lord, how long? In other words, okay, how long do I have to do this, and when is this going to change? And the answer was, until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitants, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and forsaken places are many in the midst of the land, but a tenth of it will be in it, and will return and be for consuming as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. So God is telling him that basically people are not going to listen to what Isaiah have to say until after the exile. That's the immediate context that Isaiah is referring to. So Isaiah was under no illusion that his ministry was going to be one in which he would be acclaimed as a great prophet and received well by people. And as a matter of fact, in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8, we have a reference in one of his prophecies to this future purpose for his prophecies. It says, now go write it before them on a tablet, noted on a scroll, that it may be for a time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. So this prophecy was for a future generation. One of the points that's being made there is that fallen man is not neutral when it comes to the truth. He's hostile to the truth. Fallen man doesn't want to hear the truth. In Isaiah chapter 7, beginning with verse 1, we get the context of the prophecy that's quoted in the gospel. It says, now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim, that's the land just to the north of Judah. So his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the winds. In other words, they were very much concerned about these developments. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now and meet Ahaz, you and Sherebjashub your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet, do not fear or be faint-hearted, for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go against Judah and trouble it. Let us make a gap in its walls for ourselves and set a king over them, the son of Tabel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. In other words, the northern kingdom will cease to exist. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you will not understand. So Isaiah comes to King Ahaz, and he tells him, basically he has no reason to be afraid, because God is not, even though God allowed these people to punish the kingdom of Judah, he was not going to allow them to destroy the kingdom or to enter into the city of Jerusalem. And he ends with this word, this statement, if you don't believe, surely you will not be able to understand. Again, this gets to the question of man's hostility to the truth. It's not that people can't understand the truth of the gospel, it's that they choose not to. There are many reasons why we're given by God to believe. When we look at creation, when we look at all that God has done, when we look at the facts of the life of Christ, there are many reasons we have to believe. We know that when we look around, we see a world that exists. We know that it's impossible for something to come into existence out of nothing. And it certainly can't, not without some external cause bringing that into being, some external cause that's sufficient to bring that into being. But, and it's certainly not possible that the universe could have created itself, because it's ridiculous for us to assume that something could not exist and then create itself. So we know that something created what we see around us, and we have every reason to believe, but people choose not to believe, and so they don't understand. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord, your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. So in other words, you can ask anything you want, King, and I'm going to give it to you, something that will confirm your faith, something that will cause you to trust me. And if you do this, you'll see a mighty deliverance for your kingdom. But what was his response? It says, but King Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. So he's hiding behind piety here. I'm not going to tempt the Lord. But the reality is, he didn't want a sign. He didn't want to be convinced that the path that he had undertaken was wrong. Because what he did instead was he had contacted the king of Assyria, a kingdom further to the north, but a power that was coming into being. And he made an alliance with the king of Assyria, a pagan nation. And he sent tribute to the king of Assyria. And he said, I'll be your vassal. You come help me, protect me from the king of Israel and from the king of Syria. And as a matter of fact, he went on a trip, we're told in the scriptures, to Assyria, and he came back and he installed some idols from the Assyrians to show his loyalty to the king of Assyria. So Ahaz didn't want to be confused with the facts. He didn't want to be swayed that he had gone in the wrong direction. And so he gives this answer. And so Isaiah responds to him, "Hear now, house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and upon your kingdom and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim, or the northern kingdom, departed from Judah." So what is this sign, the virgin shall be with child? What did that mean to King Ahaz? Because, as a matter of fact, the virgin didn't give birth in the time of King Ahaz. But the point is, he had an opportunity to have a sign that would have convinced him that what God was telling him was true, and hopefully would have changed his course, but he refused that. And so the sign was really not for him. It was for a future generation. But the sign that King Ahaz did get to see was that in his own lifetime, the king of Assyria was much more of an oppressor to Judah than a helper. Assyria did, in fact, conquer the Syrians, conquer the northern kingdom of Israel, and the lifetime of Ahaz's son, Hezekiah, very nearly conquered the southern kingdom of Judah. And so Judah suffered a great deal because King Ahaz tried to figure out his own way. He had his own solution. So he brought the Assyrians into the picture, and the Assyrians very nearly destroyed his kingdom and did destroy his brethren to the north in the northern kingdom. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's what we talked about last week. That was the message for Ahaz. If he had heard the voice of the Lord and not hardened his heart, that promise would have been for him. But that promise is for you. The promise, the sign that is given, the sign of the virgin with child, is a sign that we in history have seen come to pass, and Christ has come. And if we will not harden our heart, if we will accept that deliverance, and that deliverance will be for us. But if we reject the truth, if we refuse to believe and therefore choose not to understand, we will separate ourselves from that deliverance that Christ has brought to mankind when he came to become one of us, God with us, and he came to live the life that we could never live, to pay the price for our sins that we could never pay, so that we could become sons and daughters of God by grace. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.